Dakota, San Diego, to ferry drugs. Drug Enforcement Administration Chief Michael Braun said this.
He was the last stronghold in the declining AFO family cartel. When we arrested his brother Ben Amin back in 2002, we called it the beginning of the end of the AFO.
But he also acknowledged that someone would surely step in to take Arellano Felix's place. Libby Lewis, NPR News, Washington.
Villagers in southern China are blaming the government for not warning them before a typhoon struck. Chinese media report that 319 people died when Typhoon Somai made landfall. Villagers, however, insist the death toll is much higher. I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Ford Foundation, committed to creating opportunities for people to live freer, better, and more prosperous lives. Online at FordFound.org.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. With every kernel, every grain, every seed, ADM sees possibilities to improve everyday life. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's August the 16th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment, as he is almost every day, with a complete look at today's agricultural news. And don't forget, after the bottom of the hour, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us to take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. Along the way, we'll hear from the president, the chancellor, and the provost of the University of Illinois about the land grant mission, and from the dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. He'll update us on all the kinds of research and science that the U of I is doing with biofuels. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report. Two quick notes. Don't forget to visit our website so that you can find out all about the ag panels that Dave Dickey and I have scheduled over the next couple of weeks. There's one tonight in Tuscola, tomorrow in Decatur, and on the 19th in West Lafayette. Next week, Dave will be in Bloomington and I'll be in Terre Haute. And there are more after that. A complete list of the ag panels at willag.org. Please join me, by the way, tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. on the South Farms in Urbana. It is the 50th anniversary of Agronomy Day. This is absolutely free. Your opportunity to talk with the researchers that are working with you in the state of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The wheat contract finished the September at 371.5, down 5.25 cents. December futures off 5.75 at 391.5. September wheat in Kansas City, $4.52 1/4. The settlement price there up 2.5 cents for the day. The September contract in the corn pit from Chicago off 0.5 today at 221.5. December futures at 238. They were off 0.5, and the March futures at 252.5 were down 3/4. December contract for next year at 288.75, down 1.75. September soybeans, 552.25, off 4.25 for the day. November's down 4.25 at 565, and the January's at $5.77 3/4. Nov beans off 4.25. For the January's, rather, at 4.25 lower at 577.75. Now the November's for next year at 620.75. They were down 4.25 as well. Bean meal futures, September contract at 159.20, off 70 cents. September soybean oil at 25.15. They were off 23. From the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle on a Wednesday afternoon, 115.67.5. They were up a nickel for the day. August live cattle at 87.92.5, up 17.5 cents. And the October's at $91.80. They were up a dime. Lean hogs October contract $64.77.5, up $1.62.5 at the Mercantile Exchange in Chicago. Crude oil futures September contracted $71.90 a barrel, down $1.15. The CRB at $337.56, down $1.20. The dollar at $84.84, down $0.35 for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average trading at 11,330, off or rather up 100 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, as he does every Wednesday afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Another interesting day of trade in Chicago, and lower she continues to go.
You know, the weathermen put in a little wetter weather forecast for maybe the eastern Corn Belt. We did talk early this morning about a very strong soybean basis that is related to export demand. And, of course, the soybean processors have some very profitable soybean crush margins thanks to biodiesel and good demand. And the South American farmer is holding on to his soybeans very tight-fisted. And as a result of that, we did see a good rally overnight. But the cooler temperatures, non-threatening temperatures, all help push soybeans lower. Pod counts seem to be good to excellent. And the soybean market did sell off in the trading day today.
And soybeans posting in the harvest month an outside down day. But if you take a look at the corn chart, going back and filling a recent gap to the upside, while they traded lower, the action didn't appear too terribly bad for the afternoon.
No, it didn't. And, of course, the Informa group this morning used the correlation of a 155 yield and 230 in price. You know, and also the Informa group came out and said the storage situation with this crop is a better situation than it was a year ago. You know, the stocks may be a little smaller and also transportation working a little better. And, of course, enormous investments by farmers and industry as far as building new storage. And talk about big returns of buying grain or holding grain and locking in the carry. It's a dream in every grain merchandiser and farmer's textbook example of large carries in the marketplace, which is also a demand factor in the short run.
Do you have an idea how many new bins might be up or how much storage has been built over the last year? Does somebody track that, and have you seen a number on it at all?
You know, I would have to delve into it, but we can say that you know, there's major investments by grain companies. We know that, and we do know that driving from Oakland to Oakwood, I'm going to say there's probably, I'm going to say conservatively 10 bins, and we're also seeing larger farmers put up larger bins, legs, in order to speed up their operation and, you know, haul out on rainy days and run later at night. And so it is a cost-efficient situation.
You see things like the old government bins getting a lot taller, and then some of the bins that producers have been putting up. I went by a few yesterday. I've seen a 20 and a 30,000 bin, but boy, these things are big. I can't imagine how big they are. I would guess maybe 50 apiece. Some of the bins that have been...
The cost of steel is one of the factors that makes it expensive to build, but yesterday I had a couple of farmers mention to me the best way to double the storage of a bin is just put more rings on the bottom of it, and Watch that done several times.
Yeah, you can see that all over the place. There are brand new, bright, shiny rings of steel on lots of bins.
Todd, one of the things that I did was I went back and looked what prices were on August 16th, 2005, and it did shock me a little bit. December corn futures at 222 and a quarter on August 16th, 2005. November bean 625 on 2005 on this date, and December wheat at 325. So we do see prices cheaper in beans and a little higher in corn. I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting. Hey, I got one more question on the storage thing for you.
Yeah.
I was working towards something, actually, which is, do you have an idea what you talked about investment by the large corporations, by the ADMs, the Bungies, the Cargills?
The co-ops.
Yeah, the co-ops.
And the ethanol companies.
Yeah, and the ethanol companies as well. Do we have an idea of how that differs from producers building bins and those two different types of storage and what it might mean for future prices? I would think, for instance, that if the storage primarily was built by producers, that would have an impact of moving prices a little bit higher because they're capable of holding it longer. But
I think the big factor is everybody realizes that with this new era of demand and that's coming on, and the futures market sees it. It's talked about at every farm meeting that we attend, and on every farm phone call almost, that it's better times ahead. Last year, it was, kind of a fuzzy outlook, but, we can basically rest assured of better times ahead. And as a result of that, the farmers are going to be a little more tight-fisted. It's our feeling that the farmer is going to be a stronger holder of grains than he was a year ago. And as a result of that, he's going to be a marketer of grains, more so on rallies instead of just hauling it in and dumping it at harvest time that we saw in the past.
We appreciate you being with us.
Have a profitable day, Todd.
Thanks much, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Join us every Wednesday afternoon here on the Closing Market Report.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather. Jay Cyril says tonight across the two-state region, clear to partly cloudy skies, lows between 57 and 63. And tomorrow in northern and west central Illinois, partly sunny, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms, and elsewhere partly to mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow from 80 in northwestern Illinois to 92 in the far south. Dave Dickey's here now with the news.
In agricultural news, Mexico says it is suspending import of poultry from Michigan after authorities say they found a low-grade strain of H5N1 bird flu virus in a pair of swans. Mexico says the restriction will remain until USDA presents evidence that there is no spread of the virus to commercial poultry operations in Michigan. Meanwhile, the Canadian Food Inspection Agency says the discovery should have no impact on trade between the U.S. and Canada. Iowa senators say they are continuing to press forward on reviving the expired Livestock Mandatory Reporting Act of 1999. Republican Chuck Grassley.
Senator Harkin and I have been fighting for a revision of it because the Department of Agriculture has not been enforcing the existing law according to congressional intent. And we're fighting the meat industry, the meat packing industry, basically, on this legislation.
And while other agricultural issues like the Water Resources Development Act and immigration have overshadowed mandatory price reporting, Grassley says there has been progress.
We have the Senate Agriculture Committee continuing to work with Senator Harkin and me on submitting original liability protection language to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's General Counsel. We need a second opinion on how we can narrow the language that was originally submitted by the American Meat Institute, the original language that they wanted us to include in the bill in an attempt to get a compromise with the industry. It was far too broad for Senator Harkin and me to accept.
Grassley says the next step should include the input of those with an interest in price reporting law. The House and Senate both took action to extend livestock reporting in 2005, but passed different versions. The Senate unanimously agreed to a one-year extension, while the House approved legislation to extend the act for 5 years. USDA Secretary Mike Johanns says the next farm bill will likely have, in his words, a strong conservation title. Johanns says he has seen almost unanimous support for conservation programs during listening sessions over the last year. An Iowa company says it plans to build a dozen biodiesel refineries in the U.S. by 2010. Renewable Energy Group says thus far it has raised $100 million toward the plants, five of which will be built in Iowa. Plant size will vary from 30 to 60 million gallons per year. A day after Republican gubernatorial candidate Judy Bartopinka announced how she wants to make Illinois the nation's clean energy capital, Governor Rod Blagojevich yesterday announced his own energy plan. Amanda Vinicky reports.
Blagojevich says by investing $25 million to help build or expand five ethanol and biodiesel plants, the state's taking a step towards becoming a leader in alternative fuel production. The Democratic governor says historically high gas prices will be around for some time, and he says Illinois has a role to play in solving the energy crisis.
Illinois can be a place with our corn and soybean production that provides all kinds of alternative energy sources to American consumers.
The plants will be located in Fulton, Ogle, St. Clair, Vermilion, and Will counties, where Blagojevich says the grants will result in new jobs as well. Treasurer Topinka says if she were governor, she too would put more money towards building such plants. Her clean energy proposal requires all gasoline sold in Illinois to contain ethanol and requires utilities to have to generate some power from renewable sources like wind. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Officials at the International Food Policy Institute say lack of access to water for hundreds of millions of poor farmers in developing countries could cause annual global food losses of 350 million metric tons by 2025. IFPI officials say three broad strategies are needed to solve the water issue: improving crop productivity, increasing water supplies for irrigation, and conservation of existing water supplies. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your director of agricultural programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. There you can get a complete list of the ag panels that are coming to probably a town near you in Tuscola tonight, Decatur tomorrow, and on the 19th, West Lafayette. Next week on the 22nd, that's a Tuesday, in Bloomington, Illinois, and Terre Haute, Indiana. That complete list on our website at willag.org. Well, up next, we'll take you back in time, at least a day, to the Illinois State Fair, and we'll hear an interview I did yesterday afternoon with the president of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason at the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield, joined by the president, the chancellor, the provost, and the dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, all from the University of Illinois. President Joseph White with us, Chancellor Richard Herman, Provost Linda Katehi, and Dean Bob Easter. Mr. White, let's begin with you. You're the president of a land-grant institution. What exactly does land-grant mean?
Well, thanks for asking, Todd. A land-grant institution like the University of Illinois is the result of the Morrill Act of 1862. President Abraham Lincoln led the creation of these universities across the nation with a grant of land, and their purpose has been to provide high-quality, practical education to large numbers of people to help them fulfill their dreams and to ensure the development of a strong democracy and a prosperous economy.
What types of things do you expect that the university will be doing in the near future to push forward this land-grant institution of the state of Illinois?
Well, our mission is to teach students on a large scale, to do high-quality research that creates the tomorrow we all want, and to serve the state and its needs, particularly in economic development. We've been doing that for 140 years, and we're going to continue to.
Chancellor Herman, can you tell me about the threefold mission of the University of Illinois and other land-grant institutions?
Thank you, Todd. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. You know, it's our missions are really to teach, in particular the students of this great state, to do research, which actually affects our teaching. We have thousands of students involved in our research, even at the undergraduate level, and to reach out and give back to society. And one of the ways we do that is through the University of Illinois Extension. Other ways are through programs such as the East St. Louis Action Research Project. Other ways are working with the city of Chicago. We really are seeking to become the premier public institution in this country. We're already among the top handful due to no small account the great positioning of the College of Agriculture. And right now we have a strategic plan which I think is going to propel us to that exalted spot in public higher education. And I really think it would be a good thing to turn this over to the provost right now for discussion of that.
Speaking of the provost, Linda Cate, he is with us to talk about some of the research initiatives on campus and the strategic plan. Tell me about it, please.
Great. The university, in fact, has decided to invest substantially on a number of initiatives which are critical to improving the economic environment in the state and the nation. We have one in informatics. We have another one in health. And the last one in energy. In the energy area specifically, there are many opportunities, of course, for new energy sources. And the institution has strengths in many areas, including biofuels, oil, as well as nuclear. So we are going to be looking into a number of those and build on our strengths.
Speaking of the biofuels, the Dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences is on hand with us. Dean, there's been a number of initiatives on campus that detail ethanol, other types of biofuel alternatives. Can you tell me the types of research that are being done in your college?
Absolutely. We have about 40 faculty that are doing something related to bioenergy. Certainly ethanol has been at the forefront for us for many years, especially technologies related to the new kind of dry grind production plants. Vijay Singh in agriculture, biological engineering, Kit Roush and others have done very good work there. We're also looking at new crops, miscanthus, which is a temperate zone variant of sugarcane, a really big grass. If we get the cellulosic ethanol technologies worked out, could be a real opportunity for Illinois farmers to grow. And then some of the interesting things we do, several years ago, Yanhui Zhang in Ag and Biological Engineering started a project to get rid of pig manure. And his idea was to replicate the conditions that produce petroleum, basically temperature and pressure. And so he has this very nice system today where you put in pig manure and out the other end comes oil. And that's certainly something that, if nothing else, solves a problem. They're looking now at applications in places like New York City just to help them get rid of organic waste. And then we have been looking beyond ethanol. Certainly it's a great first chapter, but there are other opportunities. Butanol. You've heard quite a bit of interest in the last several weeks about this next generation fuel. And Hans Blaschek, Food Science, Human Nutrition, has been working on not only microbes that will produce butanol, but the actual design of facilities for years. And we have patents in some of those areas, so we're ready to go there. Our process now is to bring all this together in a center of bioenergy and to give real visibility to what we're doing on our campus.
Thank you very much, Dean. The Dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, Bob Easter, along with the President of the University of Illinois, B. Joseph White, the Chancellor, Richard Herman, and Provost Linda Katehi. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at LincolnLandAgriEnergy.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason, and we're joined to take a look at the cash grain market by Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. Hi, Kay.
Hi, and good afternoon to you, Todd.
I'm looking forward to seeing you in person next Tuesday. About a couple, two or three times a year we see each other. We'll be over at the Terre Haute Grain meeting in room 200 there. On Voorhees Street in Terre Haute, Indiana, next Tuesday evening. Starts at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, and you and Paul Cooley and Wayne Nelson will be on hand for that meeting that night. Anything else we need to know about it for sure?
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you too, Todd, and we usually have a really good turnout here at Terre Haute Grain, and there'll be a new twist to it. We're going to have some food. If people want to come for something neat, we're going to have some sandwiches an hour earlier at 6 o'clock Eastern Time, but you know, this is going to be an interesting meeting because we can look forward to some better prices next year, and I think everybody's going to want to hear what everybody has to say about that.
You betcha. So just if you're in the area, come visit us on Tuesday evening next week at 7 o'clock. 6 o'clock, if you want to pick up some sandwiches, you can call Terre Haute Grain there in Terre Haute, Indiana. If you want more information, otherwise, just show up. And Kay Whitlock, Wayne Nelson, Paul Cooley, and I will take you through a couple of hours, at least an hour and a half or so of a meeting, taking a look at the marketplace. Speaking of that, tell me about the cash grain in your area.
Well, I'm personally disappointed in the trade the last couple of days. You know, I mean, everybody's expecting a short covering bounce, and even though we haven't seen a lot of downside, this market just is not responsive, and there's still a lot of old crop out there, and we're not going to run out, that's for sure, but we've driven this market down to maybe unrealistic levels at this particular point, and it'll go on down during harvest. But, yeah, a little disappointed. Basis levels are improving just a little bit, not a lot, but if the farmer continues to be a big holder, they could improve even more. But really, Todd, there's still a lot of old crop out there, and these guys are just agonizing over what to do with it.
And it looks like they're just going to have to hang on or let go, one of the two, right?
Well, you know, I've talked to two guys that are going to start putting some new crop when it comes in into flat storage. Some are building bin space. Some may just go ahead and sell it and buy it back on paper, which, you know, that's probably a good idea to do this year because I think everything's going to be a little higher next year. But there's still some decisions to be made, and right now they just really don't know what to do. We're in a quandary. This sell-off kind of took everybody by surprise.
Indeed it did. What are your bids for the day?
All right, our cash corn today is $1.97. Cash beans are $5.27. And wheat is $2.99.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us on Wednesday afternoons. I'll return in 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather with Drew Lerner. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. A Chicago Sun-Times report shows a state judge who oversaw a clout hiring case involving the Blagojevich administration was on a list of state job seekers with political connections. Until he withdrew Friday, Andrew Barris was the administrative law judge overseeing the Civil Service Commission case of two state workers fired for allegedly giving special treatment to politically connected job applicants. But the Sun-Times reports that Barris's name was included on a list of more than 2,100 applicants who allegedly had political sponsors. DeWitt County prosecutors are seeking the death penalty for Thomas Massey. The rural Clinton man is accused of killing a pregnant Hawesville woman and her 8-year-old son. Massey is charged with first-degree murder and intentional homicide of an unborn child in the deaths of 28-year-old Katie Griffith and her son Kendall. The director of the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce says local efforts to bring Delta Air service to Champaign-Urbana were a success, even though Delta will be ending its service this fall. Delta began its service to Willard Airport in 2004 after area employers pledged $1.6 million in business to Delta over a 2-year period. But Delta announced it was ending service a few months after the so-called ticket trust ended. Chamber of Commerce Director Laura Weiss says Delta's financial difficulties may have been a major factor in its decision to end service. She says it would be up to the U of I and Willard Airport officials to decide whether future airline recruitment efforts will include a ticket trust drive. Police believe the latest incident along Klein Avenue in northwest Indiana is not related to what could be a series of shootings at vehicles. In the latest incident, someone fired blue paintballs yesterday at a delivery truck in East Chicago. There have been no injuries in any of the incidents. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner, the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about weather here in the Midwest as we head towards the harvest season.
Well, you know, it's starting off looking pretty good out there. We've seen a lot of shower and thunderstorm activity and seasonable temperatures so far this week, and that's going to continue out for another, let's say a good week to 10 days. As we do go forward into that second week of the two-week outlook, we'll see the rain intensity and frequency starting to subside a little bit. We'll also pick up on a little bit more cool air as we move out in time, and that'll bring those temperatures into the 70s and 80s for a large part of the Midwest in the second week of the two-week outlook. As we finish out the month of August, we'll probably find ourselves looking at a less significant precipitation pattern. We'll go on into early September, continuing that bias. I think a large part of the Midwest will see a general dry down during that period of time. That's something that's not all that unusual for that time of the year, and certainly will be beneficial for crop maturation and the start of harvesting. I think the longer range outlook remains almost the same as that. We'll see a very favorable environment take place as we move deeper into September. I think we will have shots of cool air moving across the Midwest, but with this year's crops being so well developed and advanced, I don't think there's going to be much reason for us to be concerned about early frost or freezes.
And then we better check in on the Great Plains states, suffered through a pretty good drought through Texas and Oklahoma and parts of the western area last winter. Have they recovered much, and how are they setting up for planting season this fall?
Well, certainly the rain that's occurred in the last several days has been a major step in the right direction towards easing the drought. But no, the drought is not over, and that region is probably going to be seeing additional periods of drier weather coming up here as we move into autumn. I was spending some time on this morning, and it looks like we'll have some more rain move across hard red wheat country as we move through the next couple of days. The precipitation will be light, maybe picking up maybe another half inch of moisture, but a bigger system will occur Friday through Sunday that will give us good coverage of rain amounts running anywhere from about a half, well, maybe we better say a quarter of an inch up to an inch and a quarter. That'll be on top of rains that have already been in a similar range since last Saturday. So this will certainly set the stage for a favorable pre-planting environment for hard red wheat country, but it will still leave a fairly decent need for additional precipitation across this region, especially when we get into the heart of planting. You know, early planting does take place in the last days of August and early September, but the bulk of field work out there in hard red wheat country will occur from mid-September into October. And that's the time period that we want to be focused on because moisture may be a little bit low again by the time we get to that point in time.
And finally, a quick note on the maturation of the Chinese corn crop and how it came through the season.
China is going through a period right now that's also beneficial for their crops. Very little precipitation is falling right now. The temperature pattern is also biased on the warm side. This is keeping evaporation rates fairly high and helping to speed along crop maturation for both corn and soybeans across that country. The outlook is still pretty favorable. I think China will probably see a limited amount of precipitation this autumn, and that will likely speed along the crop maturation process and get those crops out of the ground without much hesitation. So it looks pretty good at this point in time for much of that country as well.
Thanks for joining us, Drew.
Thank you, Todd, and have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is the senior agricultural meteorologist of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the markets. And don't forget, you can listen to today's futures analysis, the cash grain analysis, and the weather right there on our website. Just go to WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.